Hey, it's Cindy Howes and Lizzie Noh from the podcast Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians.
Basic Folk is truly changing the game with our well-researched deep dives that aim to empower the listener while fostering the folk community.
I basically am writing worship music for youth group rejects.
Maternal regrets and maternal guilt are universal.
I try to make things that are beautiful and that are made with like a purity of intention.
You can listen to Basic Folk on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or at basicfolk.com.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell. Can you imagine having a School of Rock when you were a kid?
You know, her mom asked me, what do you think it would be like if you had a School of Rock? And I said, way different. I wouldn't have met Jeremy, who's in my band.
Oh, I love that man so much.
I mean, we've been playing music since we were 15 years old, but we wouldn't have met. I guarantee it, because we were the only two people in Yukon, Oklahoma that knew each other that played music, and I wasn't a metalhead. I mean, I listened to a little bit, but I had to, like, sneak it because my mom thought I was going to worship Satan and drink goat blood or some shit.
Parents still think that, by the way. Not you particularly.
I actually have some goat blood in the refrigerator.
Sweet. I mean, I haven't had it in years, but...
Can't have beer.
Hey, everybody, this is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van. We miss the glow-in-the-dark fingernail talk, or we can still incorporate that, you know? I'm just kidding. And the sparkly hair over there. First things first, my favorite story about moving to New Braunfels. I was in Home Depot.
I just told her this.
You did?
Oh, he just told me this on the way over here.
So I'm in Home Depot, and I get tapped on the shoulder, and I turn around, and it was freaking Cody Canada, and I said, I'm the girl at Home Depot with their dog, and you turned around.
And I had my dog.
In your backpack.
Yeah, I'm the other girl at Home Depot.
So it was like, this is New Braunfels where Cody Cannon and Bree Bagwell have their tiny dogs at Home Depot.
I take my dog everywhere. I love my dog.
Yeah.
And I didn't bring him today because I knew.
They'd be friends maybe.
Well, Betty's not quite hip to other dogs being friends yet.
Betty's a mean girl.
She's very protective of me.
I understand that. She can be kind of like that, too. She's very sweet, and then the chihuahua comes out every once in a while. But thanks for being here, Cody and Shannon.
Glad
Canada,
to be here.
Two of my favorite people and favorite couple. And I just love how y'all have just freaking made music work together for a long time. That is, like, Paul and I swear I would never date a musician again, and here we are. But it actually works out well when it's real love. Is that, I mean, just advice for people going through the music business together. I mean, a lot of people are like, this is about trust for me.
Now, do you love me?
She loves you
some. Most of the time, see, that's...
I always love you.
I consider that a win.
Yeah. I think it's probably different for us, though, because I'm not a creative and he is. So I'm just like the business side of stuff more. So we don't argue about, obviously, his art, because that's his. And we don't argue about money, because that's mine. So it works.
That is perfect. And you guys got really lucky that you found that balance. And I know, like, with Paul, he's gone, and people say, why are you guys so happy? I say, well, we never see each other. I think that there might be something to not being around each other all
the time.
That's
a fine line, though, because gone too much is hard. And then it just becomes easy to kind of pick at each other and fight because you don't see each other. And, you know, we were married before, like, text messaging was invented. So text messaging and fighting was bad for us.
Because tone.
Because, you can't read. And it's easy to be ugly, you know. So we stopped doing that. And that, we were in that rut for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, it was pretty rough for a minute. And then 2020, you know, we were home all the time, and I was like, oh, this is what it's like. I'm ready to hit the road again.
Yeah, same here too.
But now, I mean, we're way over all that, and I actually asked off for a lot of time this year so I could be around her and the kids.
I know. You guys have the greatest kids. I love your parenting style. You're just like, hey, guys, You do you. Hear some cuss words. Play some guitars. Go out on a tour bus.
Yeah.
It be seems nice to be working.
Just be kind.
Be nice to people. Be polite to people. Be respectful to people that came before you. Help out other people below you. Meaning
and
age,
also stand
age
up
wise.
For yourself.
Stand up for yourself. And, you know, that one shined through one night with Dirks. This lady kept touching his hair and touching his face and everything. And he turned around and he goes, "Would you stop touching me?" He goes, "I'm a human fucking being. Stop it." And I turned around and I went, "Dirks." And he went, "Sorry." I was like, "No, that's good. That's
boundaries.
Good. I mean, as a drunk lady touching boundaries. Your face, you know, and you know, I don't like that either."
That is so strange. I mean, people with their boundaries. I always say I'm always shocked, but I'm never shocked at the same time, because the things that people say to me, and I was telling someone the other day that this lady stood in line to tell me that it was time that I got Botox. And I looked at my merch guy, and he was just like, he had his jaw on the floor. It was so funny. It was, what? I mean, did you just stand in line to tell me? And you are a very nice person, and I believe in being a nice person and being a kind person, and I've always tried to do that. But I'm kind of a snapper or something. Whenever I hit my
I can snap.
Limit,
I think that, yeah, that's warranted sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm more the snapper than he is.
I know. Can you guys adopt me? I really like everything that you're saying so far.
It takes me twice as much of the bullshit to snap. But when I do, you know, and you know, just...
And then he does it on a public forum.
Yeah.
So he can be canceled.
Yeah. Amen. Is that the...
Only one time.
I was thinking about you because is that the... I think now that I just told you I found out I'm allergic to beer, I can drink whiskey, but I think I might need some... I think you have some other options that we haven't talked about, but I thought if I had my own weed line, we could call it Breed. Do you have any...
I
need my own weed line?
I don't have any on me right now, but...
I think you should learn more about it first.
Okay, right.
And
I
then,
don't know anything about
we'll
it.
We'll go from there.
You know, I don't really drink beer anymore. I love beer. I'll do one every now and then. But when it comes to the party, I'd much rather do that. I'd much rather... I never go on stage stoned or inebriated. You know?
I've never seen you play inebriated.
No, I don't.
It's not my jam either.
No, I want to do... I want people to come back. And, you know, I played a private party Friday with Stoney, and it got a little to the point where I was like, we probably need to shut this down before one of us, not me.
There's no off button with him. That's the problem.
No, there's not.
And then he gets up the next day and still sings good, or even when he's drunk, he's still singing well, and it makes me so crazy. How can he sing so well when I'm drunk trying to sing at Steamboat or something? I'm so bad, I just don't even do it anymore.
Yeah.
But he's still great.
No, he rolls right through it. I don't do the after show hang out, sing all night long because of that. It's like, you know, I want to have a couple of shots of tequila and smoke a little bit, and I'm done. You know, I'm done entertaining, I guess, you know. And the other night, I woke up Sunday morning, and I told Shannon, I was like, man, my shoulder hurts so bad. I think I slept on it. And my best buddy goes, "You and Stoney played for 7 hours. It's like, oh. You know,
that's much too long.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we were playing just the songs that we played. I mean, I've known Stoney since we were both 16. We're the same age. And so, I mean, 30 years, you know, the same songs. And we sit and sang the same tunes until I had to say, you have to get off the bus. It's time to go.
Yeah. Oh no, that's the first mistake, is having him on your bus. You need to go on his bus so you can leave at any time.
Yeah, right.
He is the Energizer Bunny. I don't know how he does it.
He is. I've known him for a very long time, and he Shannon's got a funny story about him.
I know, I was gonna ask your favorite one if you wanted to tell. Or
there's
tell.
A lot
oh
of
my
them.
Gosh. So many Stoney
you
stories.
Tell the one where you yelled at him across in Stillwater. Because he kept playing the same song.
Yeah, he was young, so I'm older than these guys. And in college, I was a Budweiser girl. Oh, my God.
Yes, girl.
How awful to tell this story. Thanks. And
do
we
it.
Were at an event, which happened to be like a sand volleyball thing. And Stoney was there in his... It was a beach volleyball tournament. And he was there in his starched get up, head to toe, black felt hat. And then there was, you know, introduced ourselves or whatever, went to an after party, and he played Dust on the Bottle over and over and over. And finally, I just put my hand on the strings, like, dude, that's enough.
We get it.
Do you know anything else? You sound great, but
there's
this,
no more Dust on the Bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is.
He brought that up the other night.
I'm sure he did. It's been a long-standing.
It was a good yuck.
How do you know Dierks Bentley, and why do I not know this? Because I was just thinking about Dierks was filming a music video in Austin when I was in college. Do you guys remember this? Because you guys were there. It was the first time that I met both of you. But I showed up, and then they told me, you need to go home and go put some short shorts on. And I said, oh, okay, well, I'm leaving. And then I left out the back door, and you guys were there, and I got to meet you guys, and it was super cool. But I love that dude. I've only spent a little bit of time with him, and the only time that I spent with him was talking to him about, because he flies planes and stuff, and I had just been on a personal plane with one of my exes who decided he wanted to be a pilot, and the fuel cap, I looked over and the whole wing was black. And he had forgot to screw the fuel cap on. And I was like, this is where we die for sure. So we wherever we were going, it was like a 10-man jam or something. Dierks was there. And I was like, screw you and your small planes. I hate you. I just had drank a 6-pack by myself on a plane. And then, so if I ever get to meet him again, I'm gonna just say, I'm friends with Cody, so don't judge me by our first encounter.
He might judge you by knowing me. Now, we played the Exit Inn years ago, Ragweed, and he was standing backstage leaning against the wall by himself, and he gave me the hey bro, as everybody knows, dude bro, that's all he says. He's like, hey, and he goes, hey, I'm Dierks. He's like, nice to meet you. And then, you know Enzo DiVincenzo?
Oh yeah,
I think everybody does. Enzo is our Shannon's our manager here, he was our manager out there, and he said, hey, this is Dierks, he's a fan of your music. He's like, right. And he goes, yeah,
he just signed.
And he said, he's the next big thing, you know, and that kind of embarrassed Dierks. And I said, big fan, huh? And he's like, actually I am. And then he started saying titles of songs off the very first record from like 98.
Ow.
I was like, oh, okay, well. And he said, I want to tour together. So we started touring together, and we did the first half of a tour together, and then he got a hit, and then the second half we were the opener. So then we started doing High Times and Hangovers, 1, 2, 3, and after the second one is when Shannon had to get off the road because she was pregnant. And I remember walking down the hallway of the House of Blues in New Orleans last time I was there. It's been 18 years since I've been there, 19 years. I was walking down the hallway, and I was like, I really want to name this baby Dierks, but she's probably not going to go for it. So I had Stokes was a name, which was the guy from the Lost Trailers. And, of course, Shooter was one because he was a good pal. And then I called home, and she goes, hey, what do you think about Dierks if it's a boy? That is beautiful. It's great. I didn't want to tell her at the time. It's like, well, that's what I was thinking. But I said, I think that's wonderful, you know, and man, he was just one of the dudes that was just stood up for us.
Yeah, but I think you guys, the first time you played together here, because Cody doesn't like to brag ever, right? Like, because his first band was kind of a big deal. And Dierks opened for them at Flora's Country Store, and it was a great show, you know. And after, we bonused him as the opener, which we learned from Willie and Pat Green, and you know, and nobody does that in Nashville, right? So
they don't do it in Texas anymore.
Well,
just kidding.
There's a handful of people that still do, but you got to look for them.
Yeah. So when we handed him that money, he was just like, "What the hell is this?" You know. And then he and Cody chatted about it, and he ended up getting on the Ragweed bus that night, and they just hit it off like almost immediately became friends. And I think you guys stayed on the same bus that whole run.
Yeah, he stayed on the same bus with us. And we played songs. You know, we really just got to know each other through the music that we love. You know, and there was no real rock and roll side to him, which I had a pretty deep rock and roll side, but I also had the same country side that he had. But I also learned a lot of bluegrass from him, you know. And we just, I don't know, it was just the instant bromance.
Instant bromance. That's very cute. Oh, yes, Ragweed was a giant deal. Like, cut it out. But I went to the State Fair, Dallas, one of my very first Texas country shows when I was in college. We all went, and it was insane the amount of people that were there. And I bought my first t-shirt ever was a Ragweed shirt, and I wore it in Key West this year.
The orange one, I saw it. Yeah.
Like, I gotta wear this. And I remember it being $30, and t-shirts are still $30 now. And I get so angry that, like, inflation, and everyone's like, well, eggs are expensive and the grocery store is expensive, but musicians are still, we're still the same, not the same price, but, you know, we're still kind of fighting, especially after COVID. And that's what it was. I was like, oh, do you bonus out your openers? And can I open for you now?
Anytime.
Is that where you were getting at?
Anytime.
But those were the days, because back then it was, you know, $500, $300 opening shows, full band. And Wade, Randy, you guys, everyone always bonused us out. And it was the coolest thing ever. And it was never expected, but it was kind of the unwritten rule. Yeah. And it was just so... And I'm not saying... And I hate to... Sometimes I come on the podcast and I don't want to think that I'm the old person out that's like, well, back in my day. But it really was kind of a different world back then. And I go back to missing those days. And I'm not sure it's because it was different or because I was young and just... playing with a bunch of my heroes and was loving it.
Yeah.
So the current state of Texas music feels very different, but I am very excited that it's grown so much in popularity, but I also find myself yearning for the old days, if that makes
sense. Yeah, I do too. I miss, I know the, probably know the exact gig you're talking about, but I miss those days of running with Pat, you know, and we're running with the Willie crew, you know. And but then I look around, and the old saying is, you know, sometimes you need to sit back and just look at what you've done and appreciate it. And that's very nice to do. And that's kind of what I'm doing this year, is let's tap the brakes and have fun still doing what we're doing. And, you know, I re-recorded an old record from Ragweed just to own a recording of it again. Thanks, Taylor Swift, for helping us out.
Yeah, the Soul Gravy record.
And that was good to revisit that. And man, the memories. I mean, I was doing half of that record, but when I started learning all the rest of them, it was like, wow, this, like, I can smell the cologne in the air. You know, I can smell
the puka shells on the necklaces.
Yes, I can smell the turba smelling like cigarettes, you know. And imagine nobody smokes now. And
there was just so much the Jägermeister then. But I don't think that it's that anybody isn't still friends, but we all had kids, and then your priorities just change, right? Like, it's right. I can't hang out with Stoney every weekend because we have to raise our children. Because
we will die. we will literally die.
Yeah, we would die.
Or even Wade, you know. Wade's married to my sister, and our kids are cousins, and we hardly see each other. Because we're just always going in different directions at 100 miles an hour, and, you know. The younger guys, they still have that. They still pal around. They just do weird stuff.
Yeah. Right. They just do TikToks and yeah, like, whatever. They brand each other.
Catch catfish with your bare hands. Right. What's wrong with you? They make fishing poles.
Well, they invented them a long time ago. Jets and whatnot. We didn't do that.
Yeah, I don't do the private
jet. Yeah, they're making a lot more money than
I guess, or spending it more.
Where are you getting the money for those gold chains? Let me give you my address. Send some over here. No, I know. I love that you and Co have your. I was going to say special relationship. Was that what you would call
it? It's special. Yeah. Like, yeah, I like to take pictures in front of, like, really expensive cars that says, fuck Co-Wetzel and all that.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell. And if you want to sponsor this amazing podcast, all you have to do is email onlyvanspodcast@gmail.com.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
One time we were at an airport, and it was like a Maserati. And it was Colorado. And I was making a joke, and to her, I was like, ooh, Maserati moving up. And they're like, well, all we have is a Maserati. It's like, damn, we'll take it. And I took a picture in front of it. And somebody saw the Colorado license plate, like, fuck Colorado. I was like,
it's just a rental car.
Man, what happened? It's a rental car. What happened to just joking around, you know?
And right. Or you can't do anything without an interesting, mean comment or whatever. And I wish I didn't dwell on things. I don't know how you handle social media, but I will remember the one bad comment. I tell my team, just delete it before I see it, because I can pretty much tell you every bad comment that I've ever received in my life. It drives me a little bit crazy.
No, and it makes me nuts.
Those guys get way more than we do, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And they care less, probably.
They don't care.
I mean,
I can't speak for Parker, but Co doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, if I see one negative comment, it's like, well, that's going to ruin my week.
Me too.
And if there's 15 better ones, I was like, well, that was really nice, but that one really sucks. And
that's very interesting, because I'm so glad to hear you say that. Not that I'm glad to hear that your week is ruined, but I'm glad to hear you say that, because people tell me all the time, you have to have thick skin in this business. It's like, I'm a songwriter. I have thin skin. That's kind of why I am able to write songs. So I don't understand why I have to not let things bother me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very weird thing.
Pretty weird.
The dynamic of social media, though, when people are just going to come at you no matter what, you know, they're gonna be unhappy that you're happy.
Right. Get a life.
Yeah.
Get your own happy.
Yeah.
And we try to police it a little bit, because I have a much different outlook on it. Like, I think he's great and I don't really care what other people think, but when he reads it, it hurts. You know, it hurts your feelings.
Yeah, I know. We always say, we're like, we all need a Shannon. If we all had a Shannon, it would be so much easier for all of our lives if I just had a you every once in a while.
I don't
to just
know
be
that
like
it's that.
I'll loan her to you.
But, but like Facebook, you know, where the old people are, which is, I'm around teenagers a lot, so they don't Facebook.
Right.
But he won't even sign on there, because it's so divided and so ugly that it's just not worth it.
I got called a really, really bad name. In 2020.
Coetzel?
I wish it would have been that nice. We had an instructor at our school, at her school. She always says ours, but it's hers. But he was attacked for being black. And he's my friend. And I stood up for him. And there was a guy that said, if you see these four people on the streets today in New Braunfels, shoot to kill. And it's like, okay, it's time to step up.
I'm sorry, what?
It was so awful. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. And first of all, we turned the guy in. And then I just reposted the KSAT did a piece on it. You know, like, here's this dude, grandfather, you know, a veteran and a red voter, if that counts. And I felt like it did. But the only thing that he did wrong was being black. And he wasn't even the person this guy was talking about. He just took his picture. And so this fan in Oklahoma called me a really bad name, blank lover. And I was just like, I mean, I had this whole plan. I was like, I want to write. I don't really need this social media thing or whatever. And I had a couple of Zoom shows that I was supposed to do at home. And I come home and I told her, I was like, I'm done. I'm done with social media. And you and I are going to Krause's and we're going to get hammered.
Yes.
And she goes, you got Zoom shows. Like, I don't care what I got. I am society. It got the best of me today, and I'm gonna get drunk and be done with it. And on Monday, I'll dip my toe back in. And
yeah.
But you know, and that's the 1%. You know, but the 1% sometimes is louder than the rest, because it's just so ugly.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. And then sometimes you get caught up, because I think in our circle, musicians, we all kind of believe a bunch of different things and everyone's welcome, and we forget that other people think that way.
Yeah.
And so when it's very surprising to me when it comes out, it's like, oh wait, what, like, you still think like that? And then, well, there's a bunch of people that think like that, and that's so disappointing, and it's so hard. And that's why I love New Braunfels, because it's kind of like we're all a bunch of like redneck hippies or whatever.
Yeah. That's why I moved here.
Yeah. Great.
We moved here because up in Stillwater, Oklahoma, behind almost right before you get to town, there was a farm, the music farm. There's a bunch of hippies, a bunch of people drinking mead, honey mead wine, smoking pot when it's highly illegal, and you call the pizza place and say, I need a deadhead pizza, and they'll burn it on purpose, and everybody eats free burnt pizza, And you sit around and play music.
Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah, you call for a deadhead. And then, well, we got a record deal, and then bowling got popular, and then stoning got popular, so we all moved down here because the scene in Stillwater was dying. And we went to the River Road Ice House, and there's Bingham and Moreland and Dub Miller and everybody basically doing the same thing that we were doing in Stillwater. I was like, well, we didn't really move, but we moved. You know
that's
what I mean?
That's amazing.
And it was just the rednecks and the hippies, and it's like, who cares? Let's have fun.
Yeah.
Everyone has. And our heroes, I mean, that's like what Willie Nelson thought, and that's what, so that's why it's so strange to me when people, actually, again, I'm surprised, and I'm never surprised at people. And I want to talk about, but I do want to talk about School of Rock, because it already flew by, because those people only deserve a little bit of our attention.
Yeah, and you're right.
You're right.
They know.
You're right.
We're done with that. So tell me about how that even came about. And I mean, it's such an amazing, can you imagine having a School of Rock when you were a kid?
You know, her mom asked me, what do you think it would be like if you had a School of Rock? And I said, way different. I wouldn't have met Jeremy, who's in my band.
Oh, I love that man so much.
We've been playing music since we were 15 years old. Well, 13 years old. Started the band at 16. But we wouldn't have met. I guarantee it, because we were the only two people in Yukon, Oklahoma that knew each other that played music, and I wasn't a metalhead. I mean, I listened to a little bit, but I had to, like, sneak it because my mom thought I was going to worship Satan and drink goat blood or some shit.
Parents still think that, by the way. Not you particularly.
I actually have some goat blood in the refrigerator.
Sweet. I mean, I haven't had it in years, but...
Can't have beer. Straight to the goat's blood.
Right. That's fine. Oh, Dr. Plum.
Go for it.
Yeah. So... I found School of Rock because Dirks started to build an interest in playing guitar at, what, like 11, 12? But, of course, he didn't want to learn from Cody because Cody plays
hurtful
country music.
Hurtful.
And he wanted to play rock and roll. So found, you know how that used to work, like a guitar instructor and you go to their house or they come to your house and sometimes they show up and sometimes they don't and... Sometimes they don't get off their couch. Or
they smell like cheese or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So then he was just in his room with his computer and YouTube. And I was like, oh, I don't want to raise the kid who never leaves the basement, you know. So researched it, found a school. It's a franchise, so there's hundreds of schools all over the world. I think 355 schools now. And there's one in San Antonio that I found, but it's in Stone Oak. So, you know, an hour there and an hour back. And the kids, when they're fully involved, if you're in the performance group, which is the band portion of that, and then if you're in, like, the all-star part, then you're talking, like, 3 or 4 visits a week. And I just didn't have the time to do that. So in, you know, pure Canada fashion, I was like, well, I'm just going to open my own.
Open my own? That's amazing.
And at first when I, because you have to apply and go through all that corporate stuff, and they said no at first because they said New Braunfels was too small. We didn't have enough kids and the median income wasn't high enough and all the corporate things, right? But
which
I'm like,
is
wait
the problem.
A minute.
That's the barrier to entry is money.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, but wait, there's so much more to this community. Music is a huge deal here. Venues, I mean, we have more music, live music venues per capita than probably any other city in Texas. And so finally, I think they just tried to get me to shut up. And they were like, okay, fine, go ahead. You can have your franchise.
She's not going to give up.
It'll cost you a lot of money, but you can have it.
Good luck getting her to shut up.
Yeah, sorry. So that's kind of the backstory from it. And then Dirks has been in the program. He's about to graduate, which makes me really happy but sad. Willie, you know. Crazy good drummer came through, also plays bass.
I'm looking for a drummer right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't send him on the road with me. Actually, maybe. Mine's mostly like, well, my old tour manager said, it's basically, if you like, it's mostly dog sitting. It's like, okay.
Willie would love that.
Okay, he loves dogs. He loves dogs. And he doesn't drink beer, so you don't have to worry about that.
Okay, perfect.
He probably never will.
Oh.
Him and Dirks both are just like, I think they've seen too many hangovers, and they're like, nope, we're good.
I don't want any part of that, Uncle Stoney. I am.
Right?
We could have
that
could
whole
start
generation,
blaming
though. Uncle Wade.
They don't really drink. We go to a lot of the like new metal shows and metalcore stuff, and nobody drinks alcohol.
Yeah, I think, well, I think everyone's realizing that as a society, we kind of got it backwards, right? Alcohol is like totally fine and you can do it, and then other things are not.
Right.
And that alcohol is actually really pretty terrible for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Starting to learn
Nobody
around here.
Nobody though at those shows. It's wild. Nobody's ever in line for the bathroom. Nobody right. drinks anything.
Which makes it good for us when we go and we right. want something to drink and need to go to the restroom.
Right.
You don't have to wait in line. We went to Aftershock in California. I ran into a bartender that knew Shannon from Stillwater, back to the Budweiser girl era of her life.
Claim to fame.
Yeah. And she said, hey, just come back over here if you want a drink. And so I did that like every other drink. I didn't want her to buy us drinks the whole time. And she goes, you coming next week? It's like, I don't even know what that is. She goes, well, it's the country festival. I was like, no. I don't do that. She goes, it's horrible. She goes, there's 150,000 people here right now, and there's not one fight. All these metal heads and all these emo kids and emo adults. She goes, next week, they'll shut down every single performance two or three times because there's fights.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that crazy?
It is so crazy.
When I was a kid, my mom warned me about the metalheads. She's like, they're going to give you free drugs. True. They're going, and they're going, and they're going, you know, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get kidnapped. That's never happened. You know, the first time we took them to Florida for a metal concert, Willie was, both of our kids are so tall, but Willie was, he's probably like 4 foot tall. And this dude was just throwing punches and dancing and having a good time. And Willie was kind of scared. He's like, I think he's okay, buddy. He's just having a good time. And he turned around and went, hey, little dude, I didn't mean to stand in front of you. You don't stand on my back. And Willie's like,
no.
No, thank you.
Like, I think he's okay, buddy.
That's, oh, that's so sweet. Well, I think it's the epitome of music is an outlet for people and emotions. And it shouldn't be blanketed as a bad genre when no. we all need outlets. And
no, we all need.
That's so interesting. We already touched on the Soul Gravy Taylor Swift moment, but it was very fun for me because to go back and be like, I know all these words, you know, and I'm so glad that you did that. And then,
yeah, it felt good to do it.
Yeah. And the Departed, and you've really found, I mean, my goal is to be a musician forever, and that's all I want to do. And that's all Paul wants to do. And we're always kind of thinking of ways to pivot and change and make things work. And I love watching y'all because everything you guys do is great. And everything that you Thank come you. Up with is great. And so I just selfishly want to know what's next, but you don't have to tell me.
Oh, I mean, you know, the world of singles. I mean, that's what I didn't like it. Dierks Bentley, go back to him. He told me 10 years ago, one day it's going to be singles. Like, well, I'm not doing singles. And because I'm all about the artwork, you know, finding somebody that knows what they're doing and, you know, and get several different drafts and like, okay. Well, this person, this friend of mine, Will, let's say Will from back in the day, Will did this album art. And then you open it up and there's just so much more to it. And then you read the cover and
liner notes.
I mean, that was my thing, you know. And now I was on a plane the beginning of March 2020, so right before everything shut down. Sheryl Crow's my girl. Sorry, my second girl.
Yeah. That's fine. I knew what you meant.
And she had said, you know, I'm done making records. I'm going to do singles. And I was like, well, there it is. Somebody that I really, really look up to said it. Now she's got a record out. But I didn't like the idea. But once we shut down, I started making singles. Like, you know, I can pamper each song. Because, you know, go back to Soul Gravy. We did Soul Gravy. I said, I want to get Leanne Womack on this song. And the only thing they wanted was to pamper that song. It's like, guys, there's 13 other songs.
Right.
It's like, well, let's focus on this. And you could tell. That's why I redid it. Because one song was great and the rest were like, which I'm not knocking that album, but they could have been pampered.
Absolutely.
A little more. Yeah. And so I'm just going to keep doing singles and I'll put them out on vinyl, you know, a collection of them. And,
yeah, that's kind of the plan here, too. I had a radio guy say, how long are you going to milk that 2022 record? I put 5 radio singles out. And I said, well, that's kind of the same idea, putting out more songs from the record, because So I really fought it, and I didn't do it that way for my last record. I kind of wish I would have. I fought it until I can't fight it anymore. And now it's kind of like, wow, I don't have to have, you know, 30, 40 grand to make a record. Yep. Maybe even more attainable.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, that's the big game changer there.
Yeah, we built a studio here in New Braunfels, and once I did the first single, and it cost me $200, and I got played in like 40 countries, that's when we were like, let's build a studio. Because I did, you know, I did the drums in Oklahoma, McClure's place, and then I did the, I had my amp in the back of the bus, and I sang in the bathroom of the bus, and it sounded like we're in a studio, a big studio. It's like, this, what are we doing? Yeah. We're wasting our money.
We did our whole last single in the duplex. Paul played all the instruments, and it was like, okay, well,
yeah,
we should have been doing this the whole time. I guess we found that out.
I'll go to other studios just to experience it, mm-hmm, because we know so many folks that have cool places, and it's going to cost us some money, but that'll be just like a bucket list and say, hey, we cut a record at Blue October's, or hey, we cut a record out in LA, or, you know, just to say we did it.
Right.
But I mean, I'm just going to stay the course. I mean, where every single we've done has been good for us. She's opening another school in Kyle.
What?
Yes.
Congratulations. Yeah, you guys, it's so cool. The Vallejos do the School of Rock in Austin or whatever. And I think, I can't remember which one reached out to me and said, come teach us songwriting, the songwriting class. I said, oh, they don't want to know how to write songs about cheating and breaking up and beer and whiskey. But okay. But that's so great. Good for you. When does that happen?
Oh, we're shooting for like back to school, so hopefully open in August. It's a whole nother world up there, like finding real estate and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So kind of just in the beginning stages, but yeah, we've got all the franchise agreements done and all that kind of stuff, so it's out in the wild.
How do you do that and this and moms, and do you have a clone? Do you need a clone? Are you a clone? Are you actually a clone? No clone.
Well, I have a great team here in New Braunfels that pretty much runs the school. Her name's Allison. She's amazing. She, speaking of doing everything, she just had twins like what, 7 months ago, eight months ago, and she's just killing it. But I'll have another partner in Kyle also. Actually, a mom of some kids who came through the New Braunfels program, and now her daughter works for us and sings with Cody and writes with Cody, and she's just a real talented, creative family. So she'll be like the feet on the ground up there, because I don't want to drive back and forth to Kyle all the time.
No, that's incredible. Well, good for you guys. I know it's been an honor talking to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having us.
Of course, and thanks for making this work. They drove to me. I just want to like point that. I said, we'll come to you.
Really long drive. I'm worn out.
All the way through Green.
I know. We're neighbors. It's an honor to be your neighbor. I can't imagine telling younger me that I would be friends with Cody and Shannon.
Oh, that's sweet of you.
You guys are the best. And I will never forget when we played with you in Oklahoma, and I had no crew or tour manager or anything, and we hadn't written set lists, and I was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And you couldn't put set lists on your iPhones back then. They didn't have those. And you came and knocked on the van and handed me some printer paper and a Sharpie from your bus. And I was like, I want to be like Cody.
Oh,
just very nice.
I had a lot of people helping me. When I was younger, people helped me.
Yeah.
So.
Like really cool people.
Yeah. Yeah, but... Ian Moore is the main one, and I told him, I was like, I can't believe you're so nice. He goes, there's a lot of assholes in this business, and I don't want to be one of them.
Well, that makes me happy, because people tell me sometimes that I'm too nice, and that's
no.
Why, and I don't believe in that.
There's this fine line of being too nice, or being nice and being walked on.
Right, push, yeah. Okay.
But
I didn't mean to say, like, I'm so nice. That came out really.
No, I get it. I get it. I mean, my tour manager, Brian, we've been together for 23 years, and he tells me sometimes, he's like, you're too nice. You're even too nice to me sometimes. Like, well, I don't know.
That's where I come in.
It's like, Shannon, tag, you're it.
That's why I need a Shannon. Okay, we're going to go drink some goat's blood and clone Shannon.
Yes.
And I really appreciate you guys. You are so busy, and thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, yeah.
My dog, she's... My weedy.
Don't worry, darling. This is not for real.